You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live, This Week, featuring news and commentary on This Week in Black Hollywood. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live This Week, Dario Kristen.
Hey, what's up, everybody? You're watching Black Hollywood Live This Week. I'm your host, Dario Kristen. Here joining... What is this waterfall? Okay. So our producer has a very sick sense of humor. All right, joining me in the studio today, the lovely Courtney Stewart.
What's up, everybody?
DJ Jesse J.
What up?
And our special guest host today, you know him from Stand Up, Sit Down, Nick Perdue.
What's up, guys?
He's bringing all the laughs today.
Right? I'm going to try. Special treatment in here. It's good.
Yeah, that's right. On today's show, we're going to cover a variety of different topics, including Samuel Jackson talks smack about Obama's accent. Oprah admits to a nervous breakdown, and Bank of America is sued for millions for racism. Some shady stuff. Right. But first, we are going to read the results from last week's Buzzer Meter question, which was, do you think that artists are entitled to their diva demands? 41% of you said yes, 55% said no, and 4% are undecided. What do you guys think?
I said yes.
I said yes.
They are entitled?
Yeah, they're entitled.
I agree with you.
You make your money. I mean, yes, some of them are real crazy and maybe unnecessary, but whatever.
Well, it also depends on what the demand is.
Exactly.
You know.
Right, like you can make the demand. It don't mean I'm going to give you what you asking for. Like the one when we talked about a couple weeks back, talking about they get prostitutes, like asking for prostitutes looking like Marilyn Monroe, like,
right,
you need to calm down.
But I have sensitivities for people like Mariah, who
red
had
toilet
like
paper.
Crazy things. I mean, that's gross.
Well, that's Beyonce, right?
That was Beyonce.
Beyonce requests red toilet paper when she's on tour.
Yes, but like Celine Dion like wants things to be a certain temperature, and she wants things to be a certain color and stuff like that. That helps her be a better artist.
Does it though?
I don't know. I'm not on that level.
You take all the blue M&Ms out the bowl.
I mean, maybe blue M&Ms have a weird aftertaste.
Yes.
And it could mess with your vocal
girl, bye. That's Jessica Simpson. Though,
maybe like
wants,
everything to match.
She wants all the M&Ms to be separated. Because
you want them to match.
But you, like, you know, I would be like, Jessica, you don't even need them M&Ms
like,
to begin with.
Seeing order and things being neat and appearing a certain way changes and affects your mood, even in your house. Like, don't you feel better when, like, you've cleaned... Well, I just cleaned off my desk, and I feel like a whole new person. Like, I can sit there, and I get way more stuff done because I can see where everything is and know everything's all lined up perfectly. So some people just have that in their brains, and it makes them function better.
And I know that there's, like, some singing artists who request for air conditioners to be off while they're in their dressing rooms, which means everybody's hot. Aretha Franklin's one of them. But you know what? If that makes her voice and quality better for everybody, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I think like they just ask for some stuff, just ask for it just to see, like say if they can get it. You know, because like some are just like jokes. Like,
maybe if I can get some pussy, then, you know?
Yeah, like, you know, like, clothes not doesn't get fat.
Okay. These pussy guys come.
What is his face?
That's like the worst word.
Women hate that word.
Vagina, call it. I even like the C word better than that. But
you
I
like, really?
Really?
Like
cunt?
Now,
you might be the first.
Bother me.
You
like,
might be the first one I heard say that.
I don't think that's a big deal. But the people.
How about we call it cookie?
I call it
the JJ.
That's okay. Right. Not when you smile.
That's kind of creepy.
No, if your gynecologist said, okay, open up the VJJ, then that's creepy.
I would be, like, even you sitting there, like, hey, boo. Let me get some of that VJJ at that point.
It could be funny, too, right?
No, you are not laughing when you're lying on that table.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
it's not funny.
That experience I will not have.
You'll be like, no. Don't look.
All right. But we do have a buzzer meter question that we want you guys to vote on for next week, which is, do you think Kerry Washington was robbed of an Emmy?
Shut up.
You vote.
We ain't talking about it. All right.
Jesse's already ready to give his comment. But you guys vote, and we'll read those results on next week's show. Mm-hmm. But first up, we have this week's trending topics, which Jesse will deliver for us. What do you got?
Well, the first topic, we're just going to watch a quick little video here because it was very inspiring.
I like videos.
Beyonce actually wanted to meet with an 18-year-old boy. His name is James Martin. He has at 18 years old, he has a degree in molecular biology. Wow. And that's all I'm going to say. This is just an inspiring video. I think it's, you know, go Beyonce for promoting this. It's a part of her Be Inspired thing that she does on Twitter or whatever.
My degree is in biology, but with an emphasis in molecular biology, and I'm a recent 18-year-old just last week. When I was about 3 or 4 years old, my father didn't want to put me in preschool just yet. He was still a little wary, being his firstborn boy. However, my mother started teaching me just at home, and so by the time I was ready for kindergarten, I was ready for first grade. And it was just a back and forth ever since then. Stem cell research is a very interesting field. It is such a promising field right now because we just started learning what these cells can do.
I wanted you to come here. I wanted to shake your hand because I'm so proud of you, and it's just incredible how brilliant you are. And I just wanted your family to have a good night. That's it.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's such a wonderful opportunity.
Thank you.
I appreciate it so much. I was accepted into a Princeton undergraduate research program in molecular biology, and so I'm going to be working there this year as a research technician, and then hopefully move on to graduate school for my PhD.
How do you do what you do? You're just born that way, huh?
Oh.
You hard work, right?
Not at all. Very, very hard
work.
I'm
sure.
My mom had to beat into me the concept of discipline.
Yeah.
Where you have to understand that if you have a test 2 weeks from now, you don't start studying the day before. You start studying that 2 weeks before.
Mm-hmm. These beautiful children wouldn't be who they are without you.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
So, one of my hopes and dreams is to one day be a researcher, be a professor at a reputable university, and teach on one side, because I love to teach.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, still have my own research project.
Just, it's so rare to see someone. I'm sure you had to work so hard. I just wanted to tell you, look at you in your face and tell you how proud I am.
Be inspired, people. Mm-hmm. I thought that was just a great...
Alrighty then.
I feel like an underachiever right now.
I was just
right
going to say, way to make me feel good.
I guess if you want to meet Beyonce, I get a degree in molecular biology.
At 18.
At 18, yeah.
17, 18, you're right.
Goodness. Get it, buddy.
So
That's kind of set the tone for the show. I'm
like, but then we're about to change the tone, because just as Beyonce is inspiring, you know, or looking at kids in school and being inspired by them, some parents are a little upset with some things that are taught in high school, and not even in high school. Basically, a conservative Christian couple complained to the school last week in disgust about some homework that their son brought home, which was based off Jay-Z's rise and success in hip-hop and also as a businessman. Sixth graders at DeSoto Central Middle School spent 3 days learning about the hip-hop artist's achievements, as well as they were tested on their knowledge of Jay-Z. A parent who had a son in the English class reached out. She's fired up. She said, one of the songs listed on the paper that he brought home was Big Pimping. Another song talked about thug life. She said, why is my child being educated about thug life? She could not believe that her child was learning about a man who sings songs that degrade women and glorify the thug life. She said when she called the school, they made it seem like it was no big deal. They said the point of the assignment was because Jay-Z is successful. And one school official even chimed in and said the rapper owns a professional sports team. So the mom said, well, that's interesting. Well, why doesn't the school assign lessons on Hugh Hefner or Larry Flint? She said, we are conservative, we are Christian, and this was brought into my house, and that's why I'm furious. It was a moral issue. The father got upset because then the mother was being dismissed, and the father decided to write a long email to the school in which said, the facts are this page represented this thug in a positive way and calls him successful. Success to me doesn't mean demeaning women, glorifying drugs and violence, and flaunting money. Success should be about living a decent and having respect for themselves and others. So people are kind of irritated, obviously. You know, it caused an uproar with other parents because they wanted to remain anonymous, but they cause an uproar at the school. What do you guys think? Do you think
this
is...
What grade did you say he was
sixth in? Sixth grade.
you know, personally, I feel like the parents have a point when it's a kid that's young. I get what the school is trying to do, because obviously rap music is embodied in youth, as and they look up to rap stars. Mm-hmm. But to use words like, you know, use the lines pimp and some of the more adult words, I think the kids may be too young for it. I mean, I just think that, yeah, they're exposed to it, they hear it, but for a school assignment, maybe pull out more of the more positive verses from some of the rap lyrics versus...
Yeah, like Big Pimpin'.
Yeah, I mean, Big Pimpin', I mean, that's not, you know, there's plenty of other rap songs that you could use and use verses from that aren't using those particular words, mm-hmm. that are more positive, personally. That's what I think.
Michelle, think?
Courtney, I can't tell if that's a positive or a negative.
I don't really know what to think. Was this English class? Like, what? I don't understand the English class was to read his lyrics and determine that he was successful in an essay. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. My issue is that whatever this attempt at curriculum sounds retarded. Sorry, not retarded.
3 days.
Sounds of not okay.
Learning about Jay-Z.
But, like, because that didn't make any sense. Like, we're going to break down his rap lyrics to show what grammar is, like, that didn't make any sense to me. If you're talking about we're in an econ class and we're looking at the business model that is Jay-Z and we're like in 11th grade or something, I get it. But that didn't make any sense. Those folks sound crazy. And then if the response was, he owns a sports team, therefore this is why he should be taught in English class.
That is a terrible response.
So I don't really know. No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I obviously listen to rap music and it's fine, but I don't really see how that fits in line with the English assignment at all.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me imagine. What city is a school in? Because I think that plays a big factor. I don't really see anything like wrong with it. I mean, I get it, but you know, at the end of the day, Jay-Z is a successful person. Like what Dario said, granted, they could have, you know, took some words or took some of his more positive songs, you know, and not like Big Pimpin'. You know, there could have been something else totally different, maybe like a song Cry or something. But you know, it's something different. I'm glad it wasn't Chief Keef.
Yeah,
you know, right. Or 2 right? Chain.
Or 2 Chain. So at least it's like it's someone who, you know, who
But it's just
what
a book.
Is this music class? Like, this is English. Yeah. What does this have to do
Jay-Z
with English?
Jay-Z has great double entendres.
Well, if we're talking about poetry
lyrics are like poetry.
But if that's what they were doing, but that's not
But no, they were talking about the success. So my thing is okay, yes, I understand we're a new age, and yeah, maybe if you talk about the success of Abraham Lincoln, a kid's going to be like, you know, no one cares. But if you talk about Beyonce, Jay-Z, but I mean, with sixth graders, do you really need to be talking about him selling drugs on the street corner?
Okay, well, let me ask this question. Are these lower income school, you know, like neighborhoods?
Yeah, where are these schools? Is it
like Beverly Hills, or is it like Inglewood?
But why does that matter?
It does matter because of the relatability to the kids. Because if it's in a lower income area or school, maybe their example is to say, hey, you guys, you live in the hood.
But why do you have
to you live in this lower income, and you can aspire to be this great person. Look at Jay-Z. He did it.
But I can tell you that same exact story without reading you the damn lyrics to Big Pimpin'.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know why they chose Big Pimpin'.
They should have chose those particular songs.
Like, 30s the New 20 was probably better, especially if you're talking about success, because he has some line just in that song that, you know, give you like, oh, okay, I get it.
Right.
But Big Pimpin' spending G's.
Big Pimpin' spending G's.
You know.
Tossing champagne on hoes. That ain't
and, like,
the best.
To do homework on Jay-Z, like, that.
I mean, I'm glad it wasn't, you know, the other one, Jigga What, Jigga Who.
I'm still not mad at the Jay-Z
girls.
Part of being in the English class, because it makes it relevant and it makes the kids understand it. It's like when we, you know,
it makes them understand what.
Yeah, but like, no, but to do homework on Jay-Z, I'm like, is he really like going to be in the history books? Like as someone,
I think he's actually in history books now.
Though, right? I definitely think he will be, for sure.
Yeah. But
But no, I mean, because I mean, like, okay, at the end of the day, Jay-Z's lyrics, just like the way he sets up his lyrics versus 95% of these other rappers out here, it's like on a totally different level. You know, like, that's why he's able to transcend and do this for 20, 30 years, just because like his wordplay is unlike any other. You know, like Lil Wayne tries to be like Jay-Z. Drake tries to be like Jay-Z. There's a lot of double entendres. There's a lot of tags. There's a lot of ways that, you know, he's able to manipulate a sentence and, you know, change the way syllables and this and that, you know, so like.
Which I'm not mad at.
So something to teaching evaluate. A kid how to do that, you know, that's, and you're not Jay-Z, I think is a little weird.
Right.
But I see where they were trying to be like, okay, yeah, this is what we're going to do. And he was successful because he was able to use English in this way.
And change his life and his game. Yeah,
yeah, I think that was like the whole roundabout, you know. But again, you could have used Hugh Hefner.
Failed.
All right. I'm going
for so, effort.
Yeah, you know. They were going somewhere with that. Well, you know, speaking on that, maybe they should have did something on Samuel L. Jackson. Because Samuel L. Jackson has a lot to say.
When does he not?
Yeah, well, he went the hell in. He talked about Obama and Obama trying to relate to people. He talked about people on Twitter. He talked about defending Quentin Tarantino's use of the N-word, as well as, you know, if only black directors should be able to tell black stories. And then he gives us a great little thing about what he would never do on screen. So I'm just going to read this, and then, you know, I kind of want to hear what you guys have to say about it. Samuel L. Jackson.
Just kind of.
Yeah. It talks about settling for mediocrity. On Twitter, someone will write, "You're an idiot." I'll say, "No, you, apostrophe R-E, are an idiot." And all my Twitter files will go, "Hey, Sam Jackson, he's the grammar police." I'll take that. Somebody needs to be. We have new newscasters who don't even know how to conjugate verbs, something Walter Cronkite and Edward Murrow never had problems with. How the did we become a society where mediocrity is acceptable? President Obama consciously drops G's off the ends of his words to sound like Joe Average. First of all, we all know it ain't because of his blackness, so I say stop trying to relate, be a leader, be effing presidential. Look, I grew up in a society where I could say it ain't, or what it be, to my friends, but when I'm out presenting myself to the world as me, who graduated from college, who had a family, who cared about me, who has a well-read background, I fucking conjugate. Let's just stop with that one. What do y'all think about this little situation and Samuel L. Jackson being irritated with President Obama and dropping the G's? Do you think it's relatable with Obama does that? Do you think that that makes a difference? Do you think, I don't know. I kind of agree with Sam in this.
I do too.
You're the fucking president.
Yeah. Well, and because if you look, especially on social media right now, people can't spell. It's terrible. And it's bad.
I don't mind it on Twitter, though.
No, but here's the thing, though.
Because you only have 100.
Well, you're trying to abbreviate.
I get abbreviations. I get that. But if you just can't spell period, you have a computer in your hand that knows how to spell the word, right? And it gives you a little red line underneath the word if it's misspelled. What are you doing with your life to where you can't go back, oh, okay, this is how you spell the word, right? And then if you want to abbreviate it, you abbreviate it. But at least attempt to spell the word correctly. And as a president, yeah, you should be able, you should speak with some diction, right? You know what I mean? You're the first black president. Give us something that young black kids in the ghetto can relate to.
But see, okay, but see, there's oh, see, I hate this part, this subject, because it goes to that question on what's really black to me. And I hate this subject, because just because you're in the hood or from the hood doesn't mean that you need to speak with certain abonics. And I think that's why people stereotype us as it is today. Exactly. So we need to remove ourselves from that mentality personally. I mean, he's a smart man. He should be able to speak the way he speaks to everybody else. But one thing is, that's true. As a black kid, you know, you grow up in a more white school or a more suburban school, you learn how to kind of talk both languages, I'll say, because you know your slang words that maybe when you're around your black friends, you do. And then when you're around non-blacks who you know might judge you for saying or talking a certain way, you talk that way more properly too. So, but I just think we need to get away from, oh, he had to relate to these kids in the hood, he needs to throw the G's on it. I mean, I just think that's just a crazy mentality. I think, I don't know. I just
wait, you think
it.
What's, you think Samuel is saying him dropping the G's benefits President Obama?
I'm not saying it benefits either like, way, I just think that
it's more relatable. It's,
I think it's just more, well, not even relatable. It's just a tough subject because it's like I just feel like he you know, he's being criticized for things. He should just be able to use whatever language and just relate to everybody. Like it just the separation of languages is what bothers me.
See, I hate that it's a race thing because I look at my grandfather. I look at my grandfather who came over here from Greece and, you know, he was not educated. He didn't have the education that I had growing up. Right. And if you were to hear him talk, you'd be like, sir, that is not damn English at all. Like, I don't even know what the – he makes up his own damn language.
Right.
And I get it because growing up with that, just like you said, I know when I can talk a certain way and when I can't talk a certain way. But in the role of as president – and to me, being the first African American in there, if you're consciously doing that, that, you know, if that's just how we talk, I'm cool with that.
Right.
But when you're consciously doing it, that's where
you're saying consciously speaking proper, or not with slang.
Improper. Yeah, talking. Yeah, speaking improper.
Yeah, that's my point too. I don't think that he should be. If he's doing it on purpose, speaking with you know non-proper English, I'll call it non-proper English, more slang. I don't. Yeah, he shouldn't be doing that.
All right, please, Courtney.
Courtney, I feel like we haven't even let you talk.
You're killing me with these looks.
Because it's so obnoxious. Here's the deal.
On Samuel part?
There's never... I understand what Sam Jackson is saying. Nobody, being an educated black woman in this country, I don't want to see someone purposely blacking it up to be relatable, so to speak. Mm. However... it's almost like telling someone, because there's never, and correct me if I'm wrong, Twitter land, wherever, YouTube, send me a link of where President Obama just got so down on his language and started talking like he ain't from wherever the hell he's supposed to be from, blah, 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 and went off in a language that was just totally not who he is and inappropriate in that circumstance. I don't believe that's happened based on anything that I've seen so far. What I have seen is if he is speaking to a certain church group or speaking to whatever, when you feel like you are amongst family, in quotation marks, being people that are related to you, people that are relatable to you in a different way because y'all all brothers or you all go to play basketball the same, whatever it is, we all speak differently among different people.
That's true. That's very true.
And it's so frustrating. Nobody said this about George Bush when he's going down home with whoever and whatever, eating grits and pretending like he's patting the old boys on the back.
But yes,
like,
they did, because you can get t-shirts.
That's like
set.
Now. But what I'm saying is during that time when he's talking to people, when people go to Ohio, they make, you know, to relate to somebody, they make jokes about them curling their O's a certain kind of way. Like, we all do it on some level when we are among different people.
Definitely.
And I just don't understand with everything that's a problem right now. Like, the freaking Kenyans are blowing up shit and there's going to be a freaking terrorist disaster at a mall in America, possibly. You're upset because he dropped a G and sounded a little bit more casual. And we obviously know that the man can be beyond casual, but in the same note, we're accusing him of being way too elitist and way too together and way too that he's not relatable. He can't win either way.
Wait, that's what I was going to say. He can't win either way.
And like, how do you keep judging somebody on that? That does not influence or affect his ability to be what he needs to be as president. Because he didn't suddenly start speaking another language and straight up Ebonic somewhere. Like, he wasn't speaking
He would never have been elected.
He couldn't have gotten elected.
He would have been elected on that.
He can't get elected. Well, that's part of it too. He gets elected dropping G's in certain places, and then he gets elected by being the polished black man in other places. So he has to play both lanes. Yeah. And I think it's bogus of another black man to attack that.
I do have a problem with that. Yeah.
And even if I understand where he's coming from or whatever, I just think it's bullcrap because he does it too.
Yeah.
But he's not the president.
So what?
And
he claims
he doesn't do that when he's presenting himself to the world and acting and all that stuff.
That's bullshit because he was just on Talking Bad a few weeks ago, and you can tell his energy is another whole relaxed energy than if he is in an interview specifically about maybe a movie or something. Like, he was chilling like he was on his couch talking to people that he knows. Yeah. We all have colloquial language. Stop acting like there's something wrong with it.
Nice word, by the way. I like it.
It's ridiculous.
You're showing that education right there. You're showing that education.
I'm so mad that we didn't have that degree right up there with James Martin.
That's right. You pulled that one out. I like that.
All right, well, so then he went on to defend Quentin Tarantino's controversial use of the N-word, and he said this. These 20-something-year-olds can't turn around and tell me that the N-word is effed up in Django, yet still listen to Jay-Z or whoever else say N-word, N-word, N-word throughout their music they listen to. You can't have it one way and not the other.
I mean, well, that's true. I can't even argue with him there. I was actually gonna get upset at the beginning because he was basically taking up for Quentin and dissing Obama, but that statement is true. I mean,
then it just kind of goes to everyone who kind of was irritated. We talked a lot about that Django came out. And then, you know, as far as whether black directors are the only ones that can tell black stories, he kind of defended Quentin and said, you know, yeah, whoever wants to tell the stories can tell the damn stories, but do it. He said, but as far as with Quentin, he said he's an amazing storyteller. Right. So to tell him that he can't tell a certain story or he doesn't have the right to tell a story, how can you tell somebody who is amazing at what they do to not do something?
Well, then it also goes to this. Does that mean for black people that we can only tell black stories?
Exactly.
That we can't do a superhero movie who's non-black? We can't do a comedy about a white family and we're black? Yeah. You know what I mean? So
he was kind of irritated about that. And so then he says, for the one thing he wouldn't do on screen, even for Quentin, he said, I probably would never dress up as a woman and kiss another guy. He said, I don't think people want to see me do that. He said, he hasn't asked me, but you know what? I guess if it's done right and the story is good, I might.
I don't think I want to see Samuel in it. What was it? Tu Wong Fu?
Can I say something about that?
Or even Tyler Perry.
Were they dressed up as Tu Wong
Fu?
Tu Wong Fu.
I don't want to see Samuel in Tu Wong Fu, too.
He would look better.
No, I mean, okay.
I don't know.
Wesley, I don't know. But look at this right here.
Yeah, I don't know.
And this is a good picture.
He might go neck and neck.
He's tall and lean, though. Like, he could. Because Wesley was like, and it didn't work out. Anyway, Nick had a point.
Okay. All right. Especially in black Hollywood, right? There's a big stigma about black actors, whether you're a comedian or whatever, you know, dressing up as a woman or playing gay. Like, that's how you become successful. That's how, like, you have to do that. And that's, like, kind of like your rite of passage, right? And so I get it. And I commend Samuel for not having gone that route yet. But, like, he left it open, you know, he said, well, I mean, if it's the right thing. Because I think it's either you're A, you're not going to do it, or B, you are going to do it. You know, so that's why people like Dave Chappelle, who just won't do it, period, I can be, okay, you know, like I see where he's at. But then you have people like Kevin Hart, who said that he wasn't going to do it, and then he did it on Saturday Night Live. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you're going to take a stand and stay on that side. Yeah. Don't flip-flop.
Well, I mean, I think he's kind of saying it in the sense of Kevin Hart. Like, no, I wouldn't go on Saturday Night Live and pretend I'm Quavon Janae. But, like, if it takes place in the story as an actor, because he is about that acting life, even though he plays the same damn character in it.
He played that grandpa on
We All
Django
Thought.
Real good.
I mean,
anyways, you know. And he always is damn angry, even when he's not angry.
But the grandpa was angry.
That's
because
he does well as an actor. He found his niche, and he knows his lane, and he sticks to it.
That's
how
he's making a lot of money
in
that lane.
That doesn't mean he's not capable. It's just that he knows what Hollywood.
In other words, Samuel, we want to see in a little comedy.
Well, whatever. You know who else is angry? Two men in Thailand.
why they angry?
They are angry because Rihanna done got them arrested. So Rihanna's doing her Diamond World Tour, and she took a little break. She went to, I think it's called Fuck It, Thailand? Puck It?
Yeah,
P-H.
It's P-H, yeah.
So
you just want to say that.
I say fuck it all the time, but it's Phuket.
So while she was there, as you can see in the picture, it's the cutest little animal. It's called a slow loris.
I've seen those things.
It's endangered, and you are not to they're not to be held in captivity. So Rihanna was at a festival, and these two men were like, hey, yeah, you can take. She saw the animal. She wanted to take a picture with it. She Instagrammed it, and instantly the Fuck It authorities were alerted of the picture, and the police arrested the two men. They're facing $1,300 fine and up to 4 years in prison. That's not bad. Four years in prison?
4 years in Thailand?
Listen.
Yeah. That is not pleasant. Listen.
Have you ever seen...
Have you seen Broke Down Palace or whatever that was called?
They knew the consequences. Because I'm pretty sure like it's a well-known fact that you can't keep this animal in captivity, right?
Yeah, I'm sure too.
So they took the risk, you know?
I mean, they did take the risk.
They did take the risk, so they deserve it. But dang, that's rough.
My thing is like... Was Rihanna like forced to give the names of these men? Like, who knows?
I mean, they probably just figured out where she was or something and just went there
and looked for two men with the
Lures. That's what's wrong with GPS on these phones and whatnot.
So sorry, guys. Rihanna done got
keep your animal at home. Well, you can't keep it now, but
you can keep it now.
That's like having a gerbil in California.
What?
You can't have a gerbil in California.
What are you talking about?
That's not true.
It's illegal. You can't have gerbils in California.
Since when?
Phil, can you please look that?
Seriously. Like, Phil, the producer,
please.
Ferrets and gerbils aren't allowed in California.
Ew. What? They like rats anyway, but...
Seriously.
Why not gerbils? Gerbils are everywhere. They, like, procreate like rabbits.
Exactly.
Is it because of what Richard Gere allegedly did to it in the movie?
Oh, because they'll just procreate and, like, overrun everything? Ew.
That's really serious?
I'm not mad. Because
I don't trust Nick sometimes. At the end, he's going to be like, guys, I'm just kidding.
Why do you know that?
Yeah, that's
Were you trying to go gerbil?
That's a weird fact to know. That's a random weird fact to know.
This is what I do when people go to work. I sit at home and I just look at random gerbils.
Well, if you guys need something to do... home. You guys can check out and not Googling random facts about gerbils and ferrets. You guys can go to AfterBuzzTV.com, as our producer says, our cuz site.
that was blacking it up.
That blacking it up on Black Hollywood Live, Jesse.
You sound like Paul Walker on Too Fast, Too Furious. Terrible.
It's our sister site. AfterBuzz TV, basically, whatever your favorite TV show is, make sure you guys check out AfterBuzz TV as soon as you're done watching it, and we're probably talking about it. Mm. Phil, did you look that up? Is that right? Right.
Oh, my God.
Wow. What is going on?
How do you put dairy on the things? This is going viral. This
is
going
viral. What is going on?
So everyone listening to this right now, Samuel L. Jack, our producer, just quickly, I don't know how he did this, put up a picture of Dariel next to Sam. Why is Dariel next to it?
Why am
I there?
Of Samuel Jackson in a pink wig saying smoochy smooch.
Dariel. All right, to be fair, I wanted one like where they would touch in lips.
You just couldn't get that
I couldn't get that done fast enough.
That's a great picture.
Hold my pocket,
very
Dariel.
Impressive, though. Very impressive.
Wait, where'd you get the picture of him with the pink wig?
Samuel L. Jackson with wig.
Oh, wow.
Someone did that.
Yeah, I feel like that's Photoshop.
Get anything on Google, man.
Yeah, great picture of you, Daryl.
All right. Thanks. Y'all from our first BHL together.
Show.
There you go.
Nice little date there.
All right.
That's precious.
On to Gossip and Rumors.
All right.
Courtney, what
we're
going to
start some Gossip and Rumors about you and Samuel.
Y'all didn't know about me and Samuel? Samuel.
So now y'all had it like that. Okay, so Gossip and Rumors. So Rihanna's sending folks to jail, but apparently she's also bullying people again.
What?
On Twitter.
Rihanna?
No way.
Couldn't be.
I will preface this by saying, I can't believe it. It's two women and it drives me crazy. But anyway, Rihanna, Teyana Taylor, not friends anymore, y'all, in case you were confused. So apparently, about maybe 2 weeks ago, Miss Teyana Taylor was chilling at home and decided, ooh, I'm going to record myself a video and put it on Instagram of me singing Anita Baker, Caught in the Rapture. Well, Rihanna must have thought that crap was real hilarious because she decided to let her hairstylist, whose name I can't see right now because of my account, Yousef, that's what it is, and she decided to sort of maybe mock Teyana a little bit, put Yousef in a wig and a snapback and told him to sing the same song. And she posted that on her Instagram. So Teyana got wind of this and decided, oh, that is too much, girl. So she decided that she was going to go in on Rihanna, and she tweeted about 800 freaking tweets. One of them she kept tweeting. I was like, I got a long list of tweets.
It went for 8 hours.
It went on for a long time, girl. That's what you need to think about first. You spent a whole lot of time on this. But anyway, so Teyana basically, okay, so her first tweet kind of went out as follows. Don't play with me at Rihanna. F all this industry shit. And she didn't say F. I'm just trying not to say that. You, capital letters, and I know each other very well. Like Nene says, very rich. She said very in capital letters. Throwing subs for what? You got my number. Don't show off. And then, so Rihanna's people, like, got all excited because, you know, the Rihanna Navy online that goes and attacks any and everybody that anybody's coming from. Y'all really need to get a hobby. But anyway, they came after her. Teyana got upset again, so she tweeted some more. She said, y'all could bully everybody else and get away with that shit, but that shit ain't gonna work over here. So y'all could mess with me and that Navy shit, but y'all have a nice day. And then she continued on talking about the Navy called her irrelevant. So she responded to that. Why is the Navy letting my irrelevant ass get to them? So upset. You mad or nah? Matter of fact, did y'all find out my irrelevant Twitter page? LOL. And she just went on basically making herself look real ridiculous. And apparently now she has also posted a picture as her profile picture on Twitter of her beating up Rihanna with Rihanna's beat up face.
Yeah, because Rihanna did this.
Because
Rihanna's $90 million network.
Rihanna's
too.
$90 million.
But that was my favorite. You know what? Tiana put Rihanna on blast though, because Rihanna put this up and it says Rihanna's net worth $90 million. Tiana's $500,000, and she said, "Yeah, your $90 million also matches the amount of dudes who have ran through you." Hashtag industry pussy.
Wow. Great quote. But okay, no. But this, because this is on celebrity net worth, and this isn't 100% accurate. This is like as accurate as Wikipedia. So, I think Tiana Taylor is worth more than $500,000.
I absolutely do not think that. I think $500,000 is actually given.
I thought it was going to be.
What album sales has she ever had? What tours does she do? She has the one thing with Adidas.
She went on tour with the Game last year.
Okay, how much do you really think she got?
I don't know what her pockets are like.
And she went with the Game,
but. But then with the Game, you know, he does well. But her,
me and Courtney are like,
her Game, Adidas call into the shoe.
Don't stab me,
Game. I didn't say it, Game.
I'm sure you're amazing.
Sure you have a lot of money.
The Game does well. He's doing his little angel project right now, so he's doing a great job. But her shoe, her Adidas original shoe, was the highest, or it was like the fastest selling Adidas original shoe that they've ever had, period. So like she's doing well.
Okay,
for
she
herself.
Probably got
and like
got
you know she does songwriting and like she does a lot of behind the scenes stuff that we don't really know about. So I think people aren't giving Tiana Taylor enough credit, to be honest with you.
I think Tiana Taylor is an amazing artist. I 100% do it, but I mean like I don't think she's worth that much more than that. Because there's a lot of traveling.
I give Tiana a couple million. Okay. I'll say a couple million.
I mean, well,
but
you know,
still,
that's,
to that 90 million.
I mean, yeah.
But then Tiana put up what? The picture of.
What picture?
Then Tiana, to this picture, she put up.
Oh,
the,
didn't I just say that?
Did
the,
you say
the
it?
Beat
sorry.
Up the face?
Yeah. So now people Which are was, upset about that.
Okay. And then in addition to all of that, there is now a petition on change.org to dismiss Rihanna from her duties at MAC Cosmetics. Basically. Oh,
wow. And Tiana from Adidas.
And Tiana from Adidas.
Which don't do that to Tiana. She need that.
Those numbers will plummet.
And the quote on change.org is as follows. Rihanna has many young fans that look up to her, and bullying is a huge problem that we are facing with our youth today. She is known for constantly bullying and picking fights with people over the internet, and this is a problem that has been going on for a while now. By consistently attacking people online about their looks and reminding them how they are beneath her, she is using her platform in a very negative light and does not provide a positive image for MAC Cosmetics or any of the other companies that she endorses.
Wow.
Okay, well, like her endorsements are not because she is a positive face on anything.
Right. It's not like she signed to Pepsi. Like Pepsi ain't taking her on as a client.
Coke, mate.
Right, but brands no. and advertisers are really they're really going in now on
they are.
On artists. And you know what? Like we've said before in the show, when we talked about Rick Ross and Lil Wayne, you know what? When this happens, the best way to get somebody to pay attention to what they're doing, if it's something in a negative light, is to hit that money, that check that's being cashed.
Which I think might actually happen to Tiana Taylor, because if they did that, if Adidas did that with Rick Ross, I think what Tiana did it actually is kind of worse.
I
think it's worse. Yeah, I think it might be worse.
But Rick Ross is still with Reebok.
That's abuse.
Though.
Oh, Reebok. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, he's still with Reebok.
Yeah, they didn't extend that contract.
They didn't extend it.
Like,
yeah,
he didn't,
yeah, they didn't
not
extend it.
Sign him
yeah.
back on or whatever.
They didn't sign him back on. Yeah,
but they didn't drop him. So I mean, because like they just might not extend her contract, but she has like another shoe coming anyway. So you know, she'll get picked up with Kedge or something. She'll get picked up with someone else.
Tiana, you messed up. That's it.
I'm just saying.
I just want to see him fight.
Rihanna is a mess. We know she's a mess. This is what she do, and you just brought yourself way down below her already. You had a little bit where she was like, "Okay, y'all have a good night. Forget y'all." She should have left it at that and moved on with her life.
I mean, but to be honest, Rihanna's the one that didn't even really tweet too much about it.
Her Navy does it. Yeah, like, her peeps do it.
I would love to see Rihanna versus Nicki Minaj, the Barbies versus the Navy, because those are the two on Twitter that really kind of go hard on people.
That's the stuff that makes me think we're all going
And Beyonce's fans, too. What are they called? The
Beehives.
The Beehives.
Yeah.
The Beehives. Mm. They go.
But no, they're Beyonce wouldn't tolerate that because we're classier than that. Mm.
Yeah. What about the Monsters, right? Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah, Gaga.
Oh, yeah, Gaga's.
Is that still relevant?
Or the Beliebers?
The Bieber.
Anywho, so good luck, ladies. Y'all probably should just stop talking to each other and leave each other alone.
I'll settle it. Tiana, call me. I'll settle it.
Okay.
Nick. All right, Nick. Go, Nick.
In other news, Miley Cyrus is in the gossip columns again. Because she's got herself a new boo.
Allegedly.
She was at the iHeartRadio Festival in Las Vegas this past weekend, and she was hanging out with her sexy new boo, Mike Will Made It.
And silence.
Are y'all excited?
I mean, it's about time. Let me put it that way. It's about time she's come on over to the dark side.
Well, people are saying that the reason why she broke up with
Liam.
Yep.
Was because
the reason she broke up with Liam is because Liam was getting it in with the Aisa Gonzalez from Mexico,
and she was getting in with her little.
She has her own personal.
She said,
Mexico.
"Give me a break. Give me a break."
Well,
just FYI, I don't know. There's the documentary come out this week on MTV about Miley Cyrus. I think it's a normal MTV challenge time slot.
I'm so excited.
I'm actually looking forward to it.
That's Miley Cyrus.
You know, I have to admit this, and I hate to say it, but she is growing on me a little bit. Maybe it's just because I'm just seeing her.
You like seeing her naked. That's what it is. Right?
She messed up when she showed the cakes.
Cakes. Those aren't cakes.
But they are. They're pancakes.
That's the dough. They're just dough.
When they're in the wrong shorts, they don't look good.
Well, that's the point. That's why she messed up the illusion, because I thought she was pretty hot. Like, she was tall, and those legs go on for days, and she cut her hair off. She's got beautiful eyes. I was like, man, bro, you kind of sexy. But now I done seen your cakes flapping and running around. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful.
All I see when I look at this girl now is that turkey picture.
I'm just saying, she's growing on me a little bit. I think media's working on me. They're exposing her, and my brain is working.
That was a good song, though. That last song.
Wrecking Ball?
Wrecking Ball. That was a good song. But this little one that she had with him. But
23.
I am perp.
I can't.
Alrighty then.
But, okay, I have a question for you guys. So Vogue won't put her on the cover.
I'm sorry.
But my thing is, what is she doing that's so much worse than Rihanna?
I didn't say she was doing anything worse than Rihanna. But Rihanna, in terms of style, is like miles ahead of Miley. And the fact that she's coupling the trashy stuff with the new style is kind of messing up that whole like style thing. So it just doesn't. Rihanna got messy later, and we sort of accepted her as a rock star, stylish icon person before it got real messy.
Really? Because I feel like Rihanna's style came once she cut the hair because
was
before, and then after was Music of
when
the Sun.
When they first made her, Rihanna started to become the darling in terms of style. When they first redid the Umbrella song and cut her hair off and gave her a bob, everybody was like, oh, it's a new woman, and it's because they were trying to make her not look like Beyonce. And that sort of was the start of her evolution.
What's Vogue's reasoning for saying that they won't put her on the cover?
Because she's trashy.
They've said trashy?
Is she trashy, really, though?
Listen.
It's fake trashy, maybe, but
honestly,
it's coming across trashy.
Yeah, like, you have your tongue out in everything. You know what?
She has a nice tongue.
No, she does not, actually. It looks like a damn giblets out the damn turkey breast. Like, I can't with it.
What's her name? Anna Wintour?
Anna Wintour.
I guarantee in about 6 months, Miley will be on the cover of Vogue.
And probably, honestly, after this iHeartRadio thing, which she had on, how would you even explain?
She had pasties and a net on, and I was just, come on, Miley Cyrus,
I enjoyed the performance. Listen, from an artistic standpoint,
What was she trying to do?
She was trying to make a statement, and she definitely did.
What was her statement? I have two nipples and a vagina.
Getting Nick's penis.
Know that.
Her statement was, it's about the music.
No.
So I don't want you to focus on me.
Oh, yes.
So I'm going to present myself as so you don't focus on me. Okay. Focus on the music. Yeah. That's what we all do. Focus on the music.
Because she's way cuter than that. But anyway, good luck, y'all. Congratulations. Hope you get married. Moving on. Everything is going down on Twitter this week. And, you know, Black Twitter was erupt. For those of you all that don't know, the Emmys were this past weekend, and the lovely Miss Kerry Washington was up for Most Outstanding Actress in a Lead Actress in a Drama Series, and she lost to Claire Danes from Homeland. And apparently that upset quite a few people on Twitter, and a lot of people had a lot to say about it. A lot of people were upset, and everybody's now saying that she was robbed.
This should not talk.
Why? But to, I mean, it's, I think it's true. She was robbed.
Oh, what?
Come on, Daniel. Okay. Kerry Washington is not a great actress.
Oh.
I'm sorry. She's good.
Fine.
Wow.
She's good, but come on. She delivers the same exact thing in everything she does.
Wow. So does Samuel Jackson.
Exactly.
But he ain't winning no Emmys.
He's not on TV, though. He's not on TV.
I think the way that she changed the game for the show alone should have gotten her that award. Alone.
Okay, so.
Okay, but look.
We are always getting.
Look.
But is it her that did it, or is it Shonda Rhimes that did it?
Is
she still has to be the character. You can't put anybody in that role.
But okay, but there's going to be an Emmys next year, too, right?
See? See?
I'm just playing, y'all.
Black on black crime.
I'm just playing. I'm totally kidding.
No, it's not even about that. Like, here. It isn't about race. I personally don't think it is.
And of course, it's about race, Jesse. We're on Black Hollywood Live.
Black Hollywood Live is always about race.
Right. The first black female ever nominated in the freaking category.
So she has. Come on. We've had this conversation.
Courtney,
I'm going to call you out.
I don't think she was robbed. I agree with you.
I completely disagree with you because she's changed the game. She's
that's
changed.
Not what you went in
so
for.
You want to give it to her because she's African American and she changed the game because she's African American.
No, just her acting is great on the show. She's changed the game. She's made people look at African American actress in a different light than what they had before.
Praise the Lord.
And that is a rare commodity.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone should get her the damn award, honestly.
Okay, hold on. Wow. But let's really talk. Okay.
That was real assertive.
Because y'all real. Y'all
should get the arm gestures.
I got the arm gestures. I got real. I became my father.
Just getting nominated, one, is already, it's a great feat.
Right,
you know what I mean. And so, like,
for sure.
You can.
But
you
we've been nominated before. We get nominations.
Yeah, but again, like, because she was the first black actress nominated in this category, correct?
I don't know if she was the first
and best actress. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. See. So that right,
and best actress in a drama series.
That right there is already a big feat. And you know what's going to happen is that now her quote is going to go up. Now, when she wins, because she will win eventually, she just has to wait in line for her turn. Because that's really how it works. We know it's all, you know, so it's she just has to wait in line for her.
It's not the year for the black people to win at the award show. Is that what we have to wait for?
No, I mean, everybody has their line.
Okay, you know what?
That's amazing!
First of all, this is freaking me out because that means you're all over my Facebook page.
That is fantastic.
First off, that was Marissa Serafini, so
yes,
she gets
Marissa.
Credit for that one.
On
looks
iTunes,
like a wedding picture or something.
This is literally
this
Samuel L. Jackson wearing a Marie Antoinette type hairstyle. I don't know what kind of hair. Kissing Daryl in a tux with his hand on Samuel's chest.
That's so beautiful.
Wait, I didn't even see the hand. Where did the hand
your
come
hands
from?
On the
Look at that's so freaking
they got jokes in the booth.
They got
today.
Jokes. You have to go to blackhollywoodlive.com to check out this picture because
you should make that your profile picture.
I might make that
you
my profile
that.
Picture.
That's
actually, yes, Marissa
you
sent
guys
me
look
that.
Like a cute couple.
That's
there.
Adorable.
Yes,
and
we have we would have a terrible looking baby.
Samuel's whispering to you, she was robbed.
Yes.
So I guess we're back to Kerry on that note. Yeah. So y'all think she was robbed?
And there's always next year. I'm saying, like, she'll be nominated again.
She'll probably
who
be
else
nominated
were some
again?
Of the nominees in
okay,
the
okay, look, I understand Claire Danes, who deserved to win,
she
won.
She did her thing.
Claire is amazing.
Sorry. Claire,
I'm not taking
is
away her acting. I'm just saying Kerry has been groundbreaking in that role. And Claire is amazing in Homeland.
Let's do this.
Scandal is
Scandal has changed
amazing.
The dynamic of television.
Okay. I don't disagree with you. I don't think that's what Emmys are supposed to be won for. think they're one for acting in this specific category.
I'm including her acting with this.
I will say this, though. Whoever did the Emmys is real shady because they had Carrie come out with Diane Carroll, who was like the first black woman to star in a major network series, and they presented an award for, I think, male outstanding actor.
They set it up like she was gonna.
They set it up like this is her moment, and it was kind of it's shady, but kind of depressing all at the same time. That like that is what we're all sitting there on the edge of our seats. Like they brought them out together. She totally won. She totally won. She totally won. And then Diane Carroll even says on stage, "You better get this award." Like. She's so amazing, you better get this award. And then she didn't get it. So I thought that was real bogus.
But I get why they did that. Because they...
But they also just
did that movie, too. Peoples. They were in Peoples together.
Oh, yeah.
You know, well, so I mean, yeah. But she was also... I mean, I know why they did it also. Because she was nominated. And then Diane Carroll was like the first woman... She's the first woman starring in a show since Diane Carroll did a drama. So it was sort of that... You know, historic moment. So I get it, but it was still.
There's always next year.
And she was, Carrie was very graceful about it and, you know, tweeted back, Claire Danes is amazing. And yeah. So she was real sweet. She'll win eventually, maybe.
Probably next year.
Yeah, like she'll probably win next year.
Oh, no. Homeland's kind of like monopolizing right now.
It'll be bad if they give her the Susan Lucci treatment.
Yeah, Newsroom.
And Newsroom's still in there.
Was Kathy Siegel.
Seagal.
Seagal, was she up? I think she was for Sons of Anarchy.
I think so.
Was she?
No.
No?
No, because she wasn't there. No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't have my whole list.
Could have been last year.
I'll have to pull that back up. But either way.
I don't know. Like, I like Kerry Washington, but, like, outstanding actress, like, as far as, like,
let's
acting is concerned.
We're all trying to convince.
Let's just move to another
subject. I understand
subject.
What you're saying, and I totally agree. It's totally true that she is, like, adjusted viewpoints on black women in the show, but
Golden
to say
Globe.
That she was the best actress among the other people that she was with, I don't agree with.
BT Award.
We will agree to this. What do you say?
Nick.
A source.
Or no, how about Awards. People's Choice Award?
Teen Choice Award.
She could get a Golden Globe.
Yeah, so she can get a Golden, a Spirit
Those
Award.
Those are really nice, too.
You know, it's a great paperweight.
I think the NAACP Awards are coming
out. She could get a SAG Award. She could get a SAG Award.
She could get an Image Award.
Get an Image Award.
Moving along, since we're talking about this forever. So, speaking of wonderful, fabulous black women.
Nice picture.
Oprah.
Nice picture.
Oprah was in the news this week. Basically talking about the fact that Oprah has crazy days, too. Days where she thinks she's going to lose her mind, and she really thought she was going to lose her mind at one point. So this past week, she did an interview with Sean Robinson over at Access Hollywood, and she basically was talking about when she was, like, co-starring in The Butler and dealing with everything on the OWN network and sort of building everything up, and everything was happening all at once. And she had a moment when she was interviewing this man by the name of Jason Russell, who did a documentary on the Coney movement in 2012. And he was discussing a brief psychotic episode that he himself had where he pulled a DMX and got out of his clothes, but naked and ran down the street. They were able to subdue him.
I love
him
his title, Pull a DMX.
Pulled a DMX. And Oprah quoted as saying, "I was sitting and listening to Jason Russell describe his symptoms, saying, this sounds pretty familiar to me." So, y'all, Oprah had a moment where she felt like stripping out of clothes and running down the street.
I would have loved to see that.
Me too.
We know Daryl.
You know I would have.
Yes. Could you just imagine Oprah and the... Oh, I'm not even going to...
Ooh, that's a lot of women coming out of
the
street.
I think I just got motion sickness. Yeah.
The way Terrence Howard talked about him, I just, you know.
Well, we talked about that, too. We wanted to see
I would have ran into her arms and been like, "Let me get lost in you, Oprah." Yeah.
But to clarify, she said that in the beginning, it was just sort of, she was feeling like she was speeding and a kind of numbness and going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And she'll tell you that she realized and thought, "All right, if I don't calm down, I'm going to be in serious trouble." And she was in the middle of doing voiceovers and doing all kinds of things. And she took that moment for herself and pulled it together.
Am I bugging? Is her eyebrow thicker than the other one?
It's a little different shape. But anyway, so Oprah had a mini. I mean,
billionaires have problems too, Jesse.
Yeah. No, and I love that she talked about this.
And that she said it. And, you know, she said literally there was a point where she was like looking at a computer and she couldn't deal with the stimulation. Like she had to go away. So. Yeah.
You know what's crazy too is that like she can go away for like 10 years.
Yeah, but she didn't. You know she went away for like a half an hour. Right. Like, all right, I'm good.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, but like she can go away for like 10 years.
She could. She can go away for
she can come back. 10 years. She can go.
She can go away for like 10 years and then she could come back and then be like, oh, Oprah's back, and then it'll just be like,
be like right back in. Yeah,
yeah.
She could go chill in that house on Maui and be good.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah.
I love that she did this because you think of Oprah, you think like. Perfect. Like she does everything for everybody. She's such a giver. And it's like
I don't think perfect.
Really?
But I do think when the hell does she ever run out of steam? Like how do you get to continue constantly doing?
Yeah, like no, perfect. Like when does Oprah have Oprah time? Like when do you sit?
I've seen some interviews. Oprah gets her Oprah time. Her and Gail go on their little girlfriend trips. And
let's not forget about her Stedman time. Either.
And her Stedman time.
He's still around.
His company still exists.
He's doing something right. Whatever Stedman's doing, he needs to write a book.
He's doing something real right. I would be Stedman any day of the week.
Oh, my God.
Any day of the week.
Stedman does need a book. That's
how to keep a billionaire happy. That's what I want to read.
Let me know.
How to get one.
Could you imagine if he was just like, I have a 12-inch dick?
That's what it is. Like, well... You know, God gifted me, and I'm able to share that gift.
That's
with Oprah.
The book. That sentence
maybe,
in the picture.
Maybe just drew it. Just drew a long penis in the book.
You open it
and
up,
open it up, like, and yeah, it gets larger.
There are a lot of men in the studio today.
This is how you do it.
Right.
Could you imagine? Imagine
right,
if they did
well,
like it. No, I'm not gonna.
That is all.
Is that all you got for us today, Courtney?
Something about penises and Oprah.
Well, and if you want to learn more about Oprah,
that's
actually
why she had the breakdown.
That's right. That's why she had the breakdown.
Because he wasn't giving.
Yeah,
maybe he was like traveling
out here on the network.
Yeah, and he was. They're on different ends of the.
Oprah has enough money.
The conversation came back.
She could fly him in for like 30 minutes and then fly him back.
Stedman was mad at her. That's what I think it was. He was like, I ain't going to give you none of the
dick. You doing all this work, shooting that movie, running the network, and I'm just trying to get it in. And he wouldn't let her.
No 12 inches.
You get 2.5. You get 2. I'll put the tip in. Okay,
that's it. Wow. On that note, if you want to learn more about Oprah, you can go to iTunes and check out a variation of shows that feature her, which, in fact, one of them is ours. Is our 100% Real show, which we just did on The Butler. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about Oprah and some of these subjects, not the 12-inch penis. But, you know, we have other things that we were referring to. But you should also check out some of our other shows, including The Beat, which Jesse hosts, mm-hmm. Fashion 411, which Courtney's on, Stand Up, Sit Down, which Nick over here is the lead host on that. Justice is Served, Love on Top, and BHL Next. Give us a rating and comment. You guys have been doing a great job with that. We've definitely been taking in your comments and paying attention on how to improve the shows. So make sure you go to iTunes.
Big dick.
Yeah, you guys got to get out of my head. So go to iTunes.
Wait, I can't wait to see the picture that they're going to put up now.
I know. Just going to be really scary.
That's it. Get out of my head. Okay. It's one of those Fridays.
Hold up.
You a bad mother.
Oh, no. Wow.
Can you imagine what the room would smell like? So right now, everyone listening on iTunes, this is a picture of Daryl, Samuel Jackson, Oprah having a threesome right now.
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
Yes. Okay. So
you're going to get this work.
Cheat on me with Oprah?
You guys are really creative in the booth today, let me tell you. All right. So go to iTunes. Give us a rating. Check out some of our Black Hollywood Live shows. We appreciate it. Oh, and we will make sure to pay attention to their comments.
Pulp Fiction too, right there.
That's about it. All right.
Yes.
Something not related to Oprah in a hot topic this week has been Bank of America, which has been ordered to pay $2.2 million for a racist hiring practice. Due to black candidates who were unfairly passed over for jobs in favor of white candidates in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. B of A has been ordered to pay the $2.2 million in back pay to African Americans who were denied entry level jobs, including bank tellers and cashiers or cash takers at the bank. BFA unfairly rejected around 1,147 African Americans for jobs, according to the Labor Department Office of the Federal Contract Compliance Programs, which is also known as OFCCP. And the periods that were under investigation were 1993 and between 2002 and 2005. According to the OFCCP, inappropriate practices included credit checks, evaluation of compatibility of work hours used to judge African Americans. Now, this is, you know, this is a crazy story, but originally BFA challenged the finding. They were arguing with the OFCCP, saying that they were unfairly targeted and that they had done all the proper procedures to hire African Americans, which has obviously not been the case. What do you guys think about this?
I think it's good that, they're being sued. Because, I mean, really, like, at the end of the day, right, if you have a qualified candidate, no matter what their race is, mm-hmm. but if you know, because his last name is Jenkins or whatever, and let's go ahead and run a credit check, and he may be a 575, right? And, you know, they're like, yeah! But you have Tyler over here, whose last name happens to be Smith, right? We don't need to do a credit check. And what's crazy is that Tyler Smith's credit could be worse than, mm-hmm. than Jenkins' credit check. You know, and what's even worse about it, too, is that a lot of this, like, crazy, like, white-collar crime and stuff like that is done by non-blacks.
No. Well, that's true, but, you know.
I'm just saying.
Well, this is what I think is that B of A should have probably learned their lesson. I mean, they've had this problem before. In 2011, they were ordered to pay $335 million to settle a claim that its Countryside Financial Unit charged higher interest rates to blacks and Hispanics. Mm-hmm. So they clearly have a lot of money.
Neither of those, and they charge.
Because they're able to pay all these settlements and lawsuits. So B of A might need to reevaluate their employees and their procedures.
Well, maybe this was like that church that like just wanted like white people in the front. Because it's like tellers and cashiers, so maybe theoretically they weren't really trying to discriminate. They just wanted their...
They're doing credit checks because, let me tell you something. Bank of America does not mess with you unless you have money. And I'm proof of that. They will damn...
You ain't got no money.
Girl... Not because I'm messing with them. I'm probably getting in trouble, but they...
You hitting the mic. The mic's on the phone.
I can't stand like Bank of America. I'm moving to Chase.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
real. Like, Bank of America does not try to help you work Chase with you in no type better. Of way.
And hit you with every single fee in the book.
I mean, they're like, well, it's Sunday. We do a Sunday fee. And I'm like, what the damn hell is a Sunday fee?
They
no,
I
ain't got
you
nothing.
Use our 18 at 475.
I think we all deserve a payout from the banks.
Yes.
I agree.
You know, I can't speak on any other banks. All I know is Bank of America...
I've done Bank of America, I met Chase, and I've done a few other ones, too.
Like, I really they feel Satan owns the Bank of America.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a hell of a statement
But did Bank of America get a bailout during that whole situation where they one of the banks
they
got
a bailout?
They got... No? Okay, I was just
possibly.
No, they did. All the interest rates that they're charging black people and Hispanic people, that was their bailout.
Well, maybe they should go to the next town we're about to talk about.
Yes, the next town that we're about to talk about.
Then it wouldn't be a problem.
Right. Maybe they should have their headquarters in North Dakota versus Charlotte, North Carolina, because that's where the next story comes from. A racist man in North Dakota plans to create a white-only community.
Wow.
Good for him.
Mr. Paul Craig.
I support this.
I support it, too. Go
Mr.
on.
Paul Craig Cobb. Living in North Dakota in a town called Leith, I believe, L-E-I-T-H, Leith, population of 24, wants to create a white-only town and grow that population more than 24. This weekend, white supremacists and others are expected to meet with Mr. Cobb to talk about the possibilities of adding people to this town of 24 to create this white-only community. In a quote from Mr. Cobb, he said, there are many organizations in which whites have to support other cultures, whereas the organization of people from around the world that say, let's keep, he said, where are the people and the organizations from around the world that say, let's just keep this place for white people?
Keep it, boo.
You know, yeah.
You can have
keep
it.
Keep it. I want to know.
You can have
I'm
it.
I'm happy to know exactly where you are so I'm I can stay away from you.
Well, you can have it.
How many black people are really in North Dakota?
I mean, right.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So,
that's what I mean.
Like, it's probably unofficially, like, already all but, come on. There's really no Negroes happen to be, but people don't even visit. We don't even fly over North Dakota. Like, that's how bad we don't, you know what I'm saying? Like,
nobody won't go there.
Isn't Mount Rushmore, is that in South Dakota?
Yes. I don't know, for real.
Well, as long as they keep a professional basketball team from there, he'll be good to go.
Oh. Do they have to be all white?
Yeah.
If it's in his town.
They'll have a great college team. Let me put it that way. They have a great college
team. They have a great college team. Yes, they do.
Stay in your town, boo.
Yeah. Yes.
I would like to start a town.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I want to start a town of people that pick up their dog poop. Because wow. I'm tired of living amongst people that don't pick
well,
up
well, you
their
know what? I probably move would to live leaf. In your town. I would live in your town. Yes. But there's somebody else who probably should move with Mr. Cobb in North Dakota.
They should all hang out.
They should all hang out. His name is David Edgman. He is a former Arkansas cop from Little Rock who was just recently in the last couple years fired. Fired for calling a group of black men who left the bar jigaboos. According to reports and also a video that was circulated on YouTube, David was drunk and had accused the black men of walking past him and smelling weed and accused him of blowing weed in his face, where then he called them a variety of names, one including jigaboo. The incident took place, as I mentioned, in 2010 and was captured on the video, but it was under investigation for the last couple of years. The police instantly fired Eggman, but the Arkansas Civil Service Commission wanted to give him his job back after a 30-day suspension. Little Rock cops sued him to keep him off the job, which is a great thing.
Interesting.
And in his defense, Mr. Eggman claimed he didn't know that jigaboo was a racially offensive word.
You're a darn liar.
Like, first of all, why is that even in your damn vocabulary?
If you have it in your vocabulary, it's because you know it's racist.
No, but I mean, but can you get some racial slurs from this year, though?
Like,
I think my great-grandparents got called jigaboo.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
if you're going to do it right. You know what I mean? Like, don't hit me with something from 1876.
Well, he thought he was being slick, like using a real old word, like, jigaboos, and then he was like, what are you talking about? That's not racist because nobody uses that.
Maybe
anymore.
he was referring to like a Jay-Z song or something, and he was trying to say.
Oh, he was trying to be like jigga
what? Jigga boo?
Exactly. Exactly. That's what
I was just trying to relate.
Yeah.
I relate to those blacks. Hey, blackies. Jigga what? Jigga boo. All right. Well, in Arkansas, appeals court recently ruled that Mr. Eggman, will not get his job back.
Good.
So
I mean, they could give him like a desk job.
He don't need nothing.
He should get a job in North Dakota.
On the screen?
I could not find
this little rascal.
No,
I was like, is that supposed to be me? Because that's messed up.
This was Dario.
Oh, you think we are really plotting against you, Dario?
I'm like, wow, this is really going down.
Is that what you look like when you're
this? This part though, look at this part.
That could have been me right there. That could have been. If you can go to blackhollywoodlive.com, you can see the picture. All right, the last story of this evening, because I'm sure that you guys are having a lot of fun listening to us. But this story actually disappoints me a lot. All right. So we've all been to, or I'm sure most of you have been to Disney World or Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And there are always long lines.
Of course.
And as a non-handicapped person, I have seen handicapped people get into the lines first, and I think that they should, as according to rules of life. Well, apparently, some people have been taking advantage of that rule because a report came out this week in Anaheim, California, that people with disabilities will no longer be allowed to go to the front of the lines at Disneyland and Walt Disney World. This is due to a growing abuse of the system. Currently, visitors are unable to walk in the regular line. Currently, visitors are unable to wait in the regular line, can now get backdoor access passes to rides or go through the exit and wait in shorter lines. Now, the change, which is going to happen on October 9th for guests, will take away the benefits for the disabled because it was due to tour guides who were assigned to handle the disabled people to go in the line started charging money and sometimes hundreds of dollars to accompany an able-bodied people to go to the front of the line. So they're really pushing down on this new ruling, and unfortunately for the disabled, it's going to screw up their opportunity.
They just, this is Disney World. Like,
police the tour guides.
Yeah.
Why are you punishing the poor handicapped people?
Because they're making money, that's why.
Well, I mean, they are.
And it
I'm
wasn't
sure.
Disney dollars. They were making greenbacks.
My thing is maybe they should change the system, because one of the things that the article also said about it is that people without disabilities have been able to get the assistance cards without showing that they have a disability. Meaning, like, I could just walk up and say, I got a...
what do you want? Like, do you have to bring a medical note? Like,
but you should.
You should bring your doctor with you.
You should have to bring some type of medical note with you too.
Like, if you are handicapped, you probably have a handicap
placard or something. Right?
Something
placard.
That's what
I don't know.
That's the little thing that they hang on.
Oh, you mean like a sticker, like for the car?
Yeah, for the car.
Yeah.
Like what?
I was like, what?
You know what I mean?
Jigga boom, jigga what?
But I mean, but even those, the ones in the car, like I know a few people that have them.
But like, okay, how many?
Yeah,
but really, how many people are really going? Like, is this like really like a worldwide trend? I can't.
I want to know how much.
I'm so.
How much? No. How much money
Phil's life is a boat? Right?
Is Disneyland losing to this handicap?
Not losing any money? That's what
they're
sucks.
Still in
because
there.
I mean, they're just hating on somebody else getting some cash while they're at work, and it's not right. But at the same time, it's not fair to punish.
It's not fair.
No, because that would be weird standing in line with a person in a wheelchair behind you.
Well, I would be like, just go.
Well, yeah. under the new change, visitors, all visitors.
He's like, I'm going to get on my ride.
Yeah. Well, this under the new change, this includes disabled and non-disabled visitors. They will be issued a ticket with a return time and shorter wait similar to the Fast Pass that they currently have, which I just utilized like 2 months ago. And that's going to be offered to everybody. Now, some of the complaints that they have gotten from people who have a disabled family member is that some families of children with like epilepsy and autism criticize the change, saying that some kids just aren't they can't wait in the standard line. Physically, they can't wait in the standard line. So I think that this rule is I personally think it'll be temporary. I think there's going to be either A, some lawsuits, or B, it just,
their
it's
ticket
not gonna
sales
work.
Are going to go down.
Their ticket sales are going to go down.
Hey, you people, stop sucking. Oh, their ticket sales are not going to go down. Mm-mm.
Disneyland is
people
supposed to be the happiest place in the world.
People suck, and they need to stop.
Yeah, but if you're in a wheelchair, how are you going to be sitting in line with everybody else?
It's
That's just
not
fair.
Fair.
At least you're sitting down.
You know what?
You know
okay,
what, though?
Nick.
I'm so glad you said it. Because honestly, I was like, well, at least they're sitting in a chair. Because I hate waiting in the line. I'd be like,
I'm sitting on the railing or whatever.
I'm not even
going to.
Y'all are going to hell.
I also read.
These are just jokes, guys. These are just jokes.
I also read that people were renting. I don't know how to say this. People were renting handicapped kids.
Yes.
Okay.
That's worse than my joke.
No, it's not.
They were charging up to like $1,200.
I don't see anything bad. If you're finding handicapped kids to bring to Disney World, like, that's a charitable thing you're doing there. Like, the kids get to go.
You know what?
Girl, bye. Yeah, you know. What? No, what?
If you're going out and
seeking slope of morality. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. If they're paying $200, if the money's going to the handicapped child.
It's going straight to the kid.
Or to a charity. Or you know, something.
I'm not too
bad. We can't just be happy that a little boy that wasn't going to Disney World is now going to Disney World.
And he's getting paid. He's getting paid going to Disney World.
And not only that, but like the rides at Disney World, not even all that.
They are so whack. Disneyland, I don't even understand why it's so exciting for people and why everybody is always at Disneyland.
Does Disneyland
I mean, it's really about all the performances when you're walking around.
Is different. Disneyland is boring.
Yeah, Disneyland. Right.
Wait, but does Disney in general, do they have, because I know like Universal and I know Universal and
Six Flags,
they have the single rider ones. Do they have that?
I ain't never heard of that single rider thing since you said it, so I don't think they have it at Disneyland because I've never seen that.
I've never seen that. Disneyland.
Yeah,
I've never
look
seen
into
it.
That.
I've seen that Six Flags.
I've never
maybe
seen it.
That'll
they have a fast
question,
pass, but
question.
That's it.
Now, because now can the disabled people still go to Club 33 at Disneyland?
Oh,
I would
what
assume
is
that?
That
it's a
backdoor club.
Yeah, but I would assume that it's the ruling at Anaheim.
Wait, what is this? What do they do there?
It's just like it's like a
Mickey Mouse kind of thing. Yeah.
No, it's not like a club. Like it's like a lounge type.
Yeah, it's like a lounge.
So why wouldn't they be able to do that?
I don't know. I'm just saying because they're cracking down.
Well, it sounds like the rules apply to the park in general. So I don't know individually if that would be the case, but I would assume that it probably will apply to that as well.
Was that where that picture was taken of you and Daryl? Daryl, you and Sam?
Yes, me and Sam. Yeah, we went a couple months ago. We went to that club. Yeah. I dressed up for it.
I liked how your legs were very pale in that past picture. Right?
But they were shaved. You did a nice job.
Yes, thank you.
Nice job.
I tried.
You're well groomed.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's real sexy.
Yes.
Calves,
all right.
Calves are working though, Daryl.
Yes. Yeah, I work out my calves a lot. Okay. So thank you guys for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live this week. I want to remind you to go to the buzzer meter question, which is, do you think that Kerry Washington was robbed of the Emmy? If you listen to today's podcast, you know my viewpoints of it and you know everyone else's. But we want to hear yours.
What you got?
Now, where can everyone find you guys, Courtney?
You can find me in my house. Just kidding. You can find me
1732 Angel Hilton.
On Twitter.
OC.
On Twitter and Instagram at Stuart Starlet.
Jesse.
At DJ Jesse J.
Nick.
Find me all over the internet at the Nick Perdue.
And at Daryl Christian, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under my name.
And at Samuel L. Jackson's house.
And at Samuel Jackson's house. And at Oprah. And hopefully at Oprah's real soon. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live this week. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Dario Kristen, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network. If you have questions or comments, tweet us at BHL Online or email us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. For more exclusive content, visit blackhollywoodlive.com. This has been a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.